This is take 300, and actually, this is take number 3, but it feels like 300. Take a drink. You need to take the Bible and just... because His words are spirit and His words are life. Listen, I'm not making this video for you. I'm just making this video for me because I need to learn. I have a lot of learning to do. And I'm not trying to teach anybody right now. I think I'm incapable of teaching right now. I feel a lot of glory, though. Oh, Shema. Let's just feel the glory. Let's just feel the glory. This is a video about feeling the glory. I tried to make another video. It was terrible. I tried to teach something. Oh. I can't teach anything right now. I tried to, but it was like... it was so hard. It was like dead works. But while you're sitting in the substance, you know that stuff ain't gonna produce anything. That here, okay, let's just do it. I wanted to pray the Bible. Hallelujah. What are you smoking, man? Smoking the leaves from the tree of life. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, man. Don't be so naturally minded that you think we would stoop to doing natural things for our pleasure. Hallelujah. Oh, no, I haven't smoked marijuana in years. I quit that stuff long ago because it was demonic to me. It would make me feel paranoid and scared. And I was like, I can't even have, like, I couldn't discern what it was. Real or what was just my freaking out imagination, so it's like it's useless to me. I shredded it all on the altar for some tree of life. I roll up those leaves and I just, you know, just like the woman at the well who Jesus was talking to. As soon as she had an encounter with Jesus, she left her pot aside. She put her pot aside and she ran and told everyone about Jesus. Hallelujah. She found a better substance. Hallelujah. Yeah, you want to get into the tree of life. Smoke the fruit of the tree. Oh, hallelujah. Just inhale the presence of God. Drink the wine of His Spirit. Yeah, I can't drink natural wine either, man. I'll drink the whole bottle and go back and get another one. And then not even remember getting the third and wake up in a pile of my own vomit. It's not worth it. I gave that to... Jesus is my only drug. Jesus. I need Jesus. I need a fix. He's the one who fixes me. Jesus fixes me from the inside out. So I don't have to appear perfect. I don't have to appear as anything. I just appear before Him. And then that's all that matters. Because like I hear a lot of... dead words trying to correct me, and like, wow, that, you know, you're saying the right things, but it's the wrong spirit. You know, I'm not gonna receive that. You know, the sons of God follow the Son of God. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And the voice of a stranger, the voice of another, they will not follow." Even if the devil quotes scriptures to Jesus in the wilderness, he didn't obey him. Because he only did what he heard his father saying. And he only, you know, something like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take a time to receive and practice the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just practice that presence of God. The Prince of Peace. Let Him rule and reign in your heart. Give Him the reins of your heart. And He will rain through your heart those living waters, washing away all the death, washing away all confusion, washing away all the dust of the earth, which is serpent food, you know. God created Adam's body from the dust of the earth. And then God, when he cursed the serpent, he said, "Cursed shall you be all your days, on your belly you shall crawl, and dust shall be your food all the days of your life." It was Adam's fallen nature. He fell into the flesh. So the enemy feeds on the fallen flesh. He feeds on the fallen nature. And who feeds on you gets empowered and strengthened around your life. So if you're feeding God through worship, He's seeking worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and truth. You're feeding God in the spirit realm. You're giving Him what He wants. He just wants to love you. And that love is increased and multiplied as you worship Him. Because your worship is just focusing and surrendering. Focusing and surrendering all your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, your soul, your spirit, everything to God. And it's the same thing for the enemy. You feed him your flesh when you like watch pornography, masturbate, fear, go fantasize about other men or whatever. If you're a woman, I don't even know all the different things. Then you're opening up that realm for the enemy to feed on your flesh. When you worship, you open the heavens so that the Lord just, He's your daily bread as you feast on Him. Hallelujah. Ah, Shabbat. And there's like an open heaven or an open hell around your life by who you allow to feed on you, you know? Jesus. I'd rather have God feeding on me than the devil. Hallelujah, because God's way more peaceful. God has way more peace when he eats on you. And you eat on the Lamb, man. You're just feasting on the Lamb. You're drinking His blood. You're eating His flesh. His flesh is meat indeed. Rhema, revelation, daily bread. You know, daily, not just on Sunday. You got to eat Jesus every day. If you want to grow into, you want to be a life-giving spirit like Him, you got to eat Him and just let Him flow through your heart. Let Him flow through your words. Let Him flow through your texts on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, whatever. Just let God have His way. He is the way. Go to Him and let Him, you know, just flow through you. Your life will be greatly improved. What do you think life more abundantly is? Is it like having more cars and having faith for a bigger house? How about you have faith to enter into the Holy of Holies? You march boldly to the throne room of grace and you just say, "God, expand this house, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Fill every room, fill every thought, fill every intent of my heart. Give me the desires of my heart, because I don't even know." Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. If the desires of your heart should be for Him, He will give them to you, and He's not going to give you something evil. He's not going to give you something covetous, you know. He'll give you the desires of your heart, which your heart truly in the spirit longs for in eternity and all, you know. He'll give you Himself. He'll give you more peace. He'll give you more bread, revelation to grow up into your head. He'll give you more wine so you can, you know, just have love divine. You can walk in the glory with Him. I mean, that should be the desire of your heart, is Him, right? Remember the sinner's prayer? "God, I take my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my soul. I give you my blah, blah, blah." Yeah, something like that. Hallelujah. It's like a trade. You're entering into a covenant with God. You're trading. You're trading your heart for His heart. You give Him all of your desires, and He puts His desires in you. You become one with the Lord, baptized into Him. Hallelujah. One spirit. Shabbatabada kiraba. Hallelujah. Don't get distracted from the Lord. Take a break. Sometimes when I get really distracted by the enemy, you know, one of the greatest distractions is when you're trying to focus on the manifest presence of God and you can feel a demon there. They are really distracting. And one time I just got fed up. I smashed my hands on my desk. Like, Holy Spirit! Like, come! Like, I know you're already here. I know you're around me, but I want to feel the peace. I want the substance of God flowing, moving, and being, like, through me, like, just brooding through me. I love that. I love that. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God, David said. You know, that's an old covenant. My heart and flesh need the living God in the new covenant, or I will die. I can't live without the presence of God. Like, it's madness. Like, it's like, once you're in the glory, you're walking in the presence of God, and then you return back to, like, a natural life. And then you tasted what was there. And then you're back to, like, just, oh, I gotta do my job, and I have to focus on my job. I can't focus on God because I gotta focus on my job. I gotta blah, blah, blah. I gotta do all this stuff like that. And it's like backsliding. It's like bondage. You know, the natural things. I want to do everything with God. I want to go to the beach with God. I go to the bathroom with God. I do. I take my little iPad and I get like downloads and I just type it on there. I just get plastered in the bathroom, in the throne room, you know. It doesn't matter what location it is. You can always have an encounter with God. If your heart and your affections and your mind is set on things above, you will experience the things above, which is God, you know. There's some angels there too, yeah. It's okay to say hi to the angels, you know, whatever. I remember an angel appeared to me one time at my workplace. I'm trying to work, and his head was through the ceiling. It was like a transparency went over my face or over my eyes, you know. And I'm looking at this big angel. I don't know why he's here. Like, is he here to kill someone? You know, in the Old Testament, they did that. Is he here to release a word? I don't know why he was there. And so I said to him, like, you know, test the spirits to see whether they have the Lord. And so I'm like, you know what? Angels will never worship God in spirit and in truth. I know the scripture says test the spirits whether they have God. You know, that like Jesus Christ came in the flesh, whatever. Yeah, I know that one. And I can't remember if I used that or not, but I said, hey, let's worship God. And then I started singing a song. And I could already feel a peace coming from the angel. It's fine. You know, they carry the presence of God too. Just like a pastor carries the presence of God. Just like, you know, a teacher, a Christian. Someone walking with God will carry the presence of God whom they walk with, you know. And so these angels, they carry a presence with them. A lot of them have different degrees of glory and levels of glory. And some of them you can't. All you can do is just hit the deck and you're like shaking in fear. Because you could die. That's how much power is there. That's happened to me, you know, a couple times. It's the fear of the Lord. I love it, though. It's the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's great. But this guy, this particular angel, he was huge. And he was just like emitting a peace. I don't know. I knew it was an angel of the Lord, but I just wanted to test the spirit. So I said, let's worship God. And we started singing Hallelujah. I did. I started singing Hallelujah while I'm sanding my wood. And I don't know if the angel, I kind of ignored him. I don't know if that's rude in the spirit or if that's like, I don't know. Like, I don't have that many angel like encounters. Like, I've had a few. I don't know. And so I just started singing Hallelujah, and the presence got like 5 times stronger. It's like, oh, okay, I guess this is the angel of the Lord. And I forgot all about him. Like, I looked over again, he was gone. I don't know if I was supposed to get a message. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe he's just there to protect me. That's just God say, hey, man, I'm looking out for you. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him, you know, Psalms. So I'm cool. Thank you, Lord, for sending the angels. God, I thank you for the angels right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Let's all have a drink, angels, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Only in Jesus' name. All the other angels, get out of here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is vintage wine. It's the King James. I have the Passion Translation over there. It's aging right now. It's just as anointed though. Hallelujah. I don't have my what do you call those doctorates? I only have Jesus. I only got the Holy Ghost. Oh, but I think that's enough for me. I don't really need any approval of man to do whatever God's called me to do. You know, He's the way. He'll make a way where there is no way, you know? Man, Moses had such a deep relationship with God. He was so tight with God. And in Old Covenant, there was a sea right before him. His enemies behind him. He's going to die. But he had such a deep relationship with God that he just fell on his face. And God's like, Moses. Was that Moses or Joshua? He's like, what are you doing on your face? Get up. I think it was either Moses or Joshua. They both had a tight relationship with God. And then God just split the sea. He told him, I can't remember what he did, but he's, you know, used the stick that Moses laid down and then picked it back up again and he split the sea. And the Israelites walked on dry ground. Hallelujah. And then the sea just destroyed the enemies. The Red Sea. Oh, I love the living waters. The Red Sea is like, it's like the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm just remembering a vision I had. It's like the blood of Jesus and the living waters combined and just washing away all your enemies. Everything that tries to put you in captivity and in bondage will be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus and by the streams of living water, but through your testimony. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the Word. Word is like, remember God's Word was like multiple waters, or was that scripture in Psalm 29? It's like the voice of many waters. His voice is like many waters. Well, that's what it's like. It's by the testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy, and it's like the voice of many waters just washing away all the things of death that try to hurt his people. Because why? Why did God bring them all the way out? Over and over again, he said to Pharaoh, because I want my people to come 3 days' journey so that they can worship me. God is still looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth so he can promote them. Coming out of bondage is as simple as this. Worship. You know, they were in bondage, right, in Egypt. He brought them into the wilderness so that they can worship, 3 days journey so that they can worship him. What is worship? Is it singing hallelujah? Well, he can do that. But worship is full surrender of your body, soul, and spirit, being, emotions, everything of who you are to God. And as you give everything to God, you've already, all things are yours. Listen, it's just unlocking that reality, and that all those things, you get his emotions, you get his heart, you get his way he feels and expresses, like it's like Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you can walk in his nature, which is how he created us to walk like in the beginning, the image of God, you know. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I can go through all that, but yeah, we can walk back into the image of God. Hallelujah. What God is like, his characteristics, his very nature, hit the fruit of his spirit. We can walk in the divine nature. Hallelujah. The key is worship. Surrender. Yielding and obeying. That's the greatest key you could probably ever hear. Just yield to God and obey. That's what Mary's, Jesus' mom Mary said, you know, whatsoever he says, do it. That's what he said to when they multiplied the wine, when he made the water wine. Whatever he says, do it. That's what Mary said, hallelujah. That's really good advice. Whatever the word of God says, do it. I mean, the written word is one thing, but I'm going to talk about the person coming through the written word, or the person coming speaking to you personally. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. So it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to hear and obey. That's a lot of glory. Hallelujah. Shaka. Well, I was gonna try to pray the Bible, but looks like we're gonna... I ended up just drinking it instead. Hallelujah. That's fine. Let's take a break. You know, you don't always have to, like, just do stuff. I just do stuff to be in the stuff, you know. I want to be in the sauce. I love the presence of God. I love the wine. I love the manna. I love his love the way his humor, his wordplay, everything about him is amazing. Even his judgments, like the fear of the Lord, where you just hit the deck and you're just like, whoa, there's way too much power here. I'm like, one wrong thought and I'll be obliterated, you know. Just, oh, that's a lot of power. That's my dad. He made me and he loves me. Thank God. Thank God he loves me. Hallelujah. I would just be wiped from existence. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I love that shatake. Oh yeah, the vision. Okay, shakara. Whoa, shakara barakara ba shakara. Yeah. Alright. First I'm going to read this, Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, the truth, and the life, who walk in the law of the Lord, the law of the Spirit. You're walking in the law of the Spirit of God, written in your heart and on your mind by the finger of God. Hallelujah. You become a living epistle, just walking it out, and let all the men around you, men and women, children, puppy dogs, everybody reads it. Demons in the spirit, angels, they all read what God has written on you. You become a living epistle. And you don't bow to like the fear of man, the fear of a demon, the spirit of fear. You only bow to the King. You only bow to what He says. And what He's written on your heart is your scroll to live out on the earth. To manifest Him. Mine is just sort of like a relationship with God. I don't really have anything. I don't have another objective. I like the sauce. I love people. I love God. And I want the love of God to flow into all humanity. And whatever it takes. Those are risky words, but hallelujah. God once said to me, man, through a prophet and prophesied over me. I wanted to hit him in the head after that. But He said to me, I see you suffering greatly. And God wants to know how far you want to go with Him. 1, 2, 3, or 4. How far do you want to go? I'm like, duh, 4, man. What do you think? I'm going to be lukewarm and stop at 2. I want to get a little pleasure and, you know, stop at 3 or 1, just be a devil. 4. And then He touched my knee and power of God hit me. Oh crap, that was the Lord. Oh no, I'm going to suffer. Oh, oh well, it'll be worth it in 15 million years from now. If you suffer with Him, you'll also reign with Him. Come on. Let Him reign through you. Tell Him, give Him the reins of your heart. I hate suffering. But it works righteousness. It works patience. It works endurance. It works all those things that are... I used to hate the book of James. Sorry. I just like, man, that book does not make sense. We're supposed to be happy. it's like the opposite of, I don't know, but I understand it now. All that, your family turning against you, your friends turning against you, getting kicked out of churches, getting kicked out of everything, and all for what? For His name's sake. Because you're manifesting light on the darkness that they're living in, and they can't have you around because it manifests their darkness, and they don't realize that I'm like, hey, come out of darkness and go from glory to glory. It gets brighter this way. Follow Christ. It only gets brighter. Jesus, shaka. And yeah, a lot of people, they don't want life. They do in their deepest core of their heart, but the deception is just so thick that. So you just keep on hacking at them with prayers. You don't manifest religion on them because that's demonic. You just hack away at prayers. Hack away. Just hack away. Chisel at their the coldness of their heart and the ice on it and just chisel it away and like, God, just pour some oil on there, a little bit of fire and just a little bit. Just enough to get in the cracks of the heart. And one day they'll just like, they'll get delivered just like I was delivered. Just like you were delivered. If you, we've all been delivered of something, and it's a continual deliverance. We're all continually being delivered until we look like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. 24/7, just open heaven. Shabbat. There was Nathanael. Let's talk about man coverings for a second. Nathanael was sitting underneath a fig tree. And Jesus saw him sitting underneath a fig tree. And then he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, behold, a man with no guile, or a righteous deed, you know. And then he's like, how do you know me? Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know me? And he's like, before Philip, I think, called you, I saw you sitting underneath the fig tree. And then that word of knowledge just like fried Nathanael's circuits. This is in John chapter 1. You can read it out yourself. And he's like, whoa, you're the Son of God. You're the Christ, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, from this day forward, you're going to see the heavens opened. Why? Because he's removing that covering. He was underneath the fig tree. He was underneath the fig tree. What did Adam clothe himself with? Fig leaves. It's his covering. It's a man-made covering. Fig leaves. And Jesus, he came out from underneath the fig tree right to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, you're going to see the heavens open. Why? Because the glory is now your covering. That's the way it was in the beginning. Before Adam covered himself with fig leaves, he was covered in the glory. He was walking in the glory because he walked with God in the cool of the day. So he was walking in the glory. He was covered in the glory. There's two different words for when he was naked. The first, he was naked and not ashamed. The second time, he was naked and ashamed. Those are two different words. The first time, he was naked, but he was covered in the glory because there's no shame in the glory. The second time, he was naked and he realized, and then there was shame because the glory was gone because of sin. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory because of Adam. Way to go. When I get to heaven, you're going to see, you see a foot. But it won't kick his butt because he's a spirit now. And so, hallelujah. And there's forgiveness, there's grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, shaka. Yeah, he came up from underneath the fig tree. And later on, Jesus comes up to a fig tree. And he's like, he didn't see any fruit. Why? Because a man covering is fruitless in your life. Like, I'm talking about glory of God's your covering, your Father. You have one, call an old man Father on the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. God is your Father in heaven. He's your covering. Hallelujah. So Jesus walked up. He cursed a fig tree. He said, no more will you bear fruit. Because it wasn't bearing godly fruit. He was looking all the way back to Adam and Eve. It was that fruit of shame, hiding your shame. Just hiding under like whatever man's built so you can hide under. No, Jesus ripping everything that man has built apart from him. He's ripping it away. And only what is built by the Spirit of God, by hearing and obeying, will remain. God is your covering. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. He cursed it. You'll bear fruit. No more shall you bear fruit. And the disciples were astonished at how quickly the fig tree withered up. Because this is a quick work. God's removing all the man covering, that false church system where you have to like give all your money away to some pastor so that he can build up his ministry, where it's supposed to be the opposite. The greater are supposed to build up the lesser, you know? Someone walking in greater authority, he should be pouring into you, or pouring into me. Why should I give all my resources to someone who just wants to build up their own thing, no matter how glorious it looks? Like, I sow into where the glory is, so make no mistake about that. But I don't know. I don't even want to go down that road. It's, I don't like it. Anyways, yeah. So, if you want the heavens open in your life, you know, Jesus is your covering. Jesus, your relationship with Jesus, period. One time, okay, I'll give you some examples. One time, nothing wrong with these organizations, whatever, but God rebuked me. This guy was from the Gideons, right? And I guess one of my callings was an evangelist. Is an evangelist. I love to go, you know, tell people about Jesus, get them born again, and, you know, on fire for God. It's just what I do, because God wired me that way. And this guy was a Gideon's. He had like a box of Gideon Bibles, you know, those little red ones that you get. And I'm like, cool, man. Oh, how do I sign me up? How do I get some of those Bibles? Well, you just got to join the club and blah, 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 blah. God said, no. Why? I can't join Gideon's? Is there something wrong with this club? And then later on, I realized why. Because I would have put my identity in the Gideon club. Like, oh, I'm from Gideon's. Like, because that's all I heard this dude talk about. No condemnation, but like, oh, Gideon this, Gideon that. Weird, the Gideons did this. We went on the Gideon did that. Gideon. Like, well, okay, good. But like, what about Christ in you, the hope of glory? How much glory is manifesting? What's God done in your life? Well, okay, yeah, you handed out the Bibles. But what has Jesus have done in your life personally? You know, I know you did that with the club, you know, but, you know, it's like we can put our identity in what we do and not in who we are. You can join the Gideon thing. Fine, that's cool. Hand out Bibles, great. Helping people get the word of God, I'm all for that. But our identity is not in what we do. It's in who we are in Him. Your identity is in Christ, not in what you do for Him, you know? Because He does the works, right? Jesus said, I myself could do nothing, my Father does the works. So we allow Him to do the works through us. Those are called works of righteousness. Dead works are doing what we think are works of righteousness, but it's by the hand of flesh. See, that's what God's removing. If we only do what we hear, hold on a sec. Yeah? Whoa, thought someone was here. If we only do what we see and hear our Father doing, we'll be doing living works because it's by the Spirit. It's not built by the hand of flesh. What did they do in the Tower of Babel? They tried to build a tower, right? And reach heaven. But it was in the arm of flesh. God didn't tell them to do that. It was out of fear. So that all the other nations wouldn't rule over them, you know? They tried to build up this empire so that they wouldn't be destroyed or whatever. He's trying to get to heaven in your own way. Jesus called them a thief and a liar. You know, if you try to get into some other way, the same is a thief and a liar. Let's read that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Hallelujah. He's the leader. He leads us by His voice, and we follow His voice, and His voice is Spirit. And He can use English. He'll fill English with His Spirit, and you'll know it's Him because it has that spiritual substance on it. It'll have peace in it. It'll have joy in it. It'll have patience in it. It'll have all the fruits of the Spirit in that voice. And you get to know His voice by worship. That's where the goodie bag is. You want to get God's goodie bag? Get into some worship. Hallelujah, man. Shabba. Shika. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Why? Because we're following him. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I don't know if that's the word yada, but I love the voice of God. I love God's voice more than my own voice. His voice feels good. It's got the fruits of the Spirit just oozing out of it, like juicy. I just want to eat His words and just be transformed from the inside out. Oh, the more you eat his words, the more his words just flood through you freely without effort. Hallelujah. Oh, drink that. Hallelujah. Shabbat. Lord, we just eat your words. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Why would you want to follow the voice of a stranger when your master's right there, you know? Get to know your master's voice, and the voice of strangers will be even more and more clear that this is not the voice of my father. Why would I want to obey you? You're a devil. You're trying to put me in shackles and chains? He already freed me from that. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. Why would I go? Why would I want to go back into shackles and chains because you quote a scripture at me, man? Hallelujah. Jesus, what do you say on this? You know, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Hallelujah, man. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to steal your patience, steal your joy, steal your happiness, steal your faith. He just wants to douse you out. But you know what? Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Come on, they might have him. The more you follow Jesus, the more you're walking in life more abundantly. He is the way, the truth, the life. You're walking in his life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Listen to this. I asked God years ago, what's the kingly anointing? I want to lay, I want to walk in the kingly anointing. If you're the King of Kings, and you have kings on the earth, what's the kingly anointing? I thought it was like, how do you like rule and power and authority? And you know, God said, the kingly anointing is to lay yourself down for poopy. You know, lay your life down for the sheep. What? But where's the power, the authority, the speak a word and just like people drop to the floor? God's like, the kingly anointing is to lay down your life for the sheep. Like, what? They started giving me scriptures. David, he risked his life to fight for the sheep, with the lion. You know, there was a lion and a bear came after the sheep. And David, whoa, courage, stepped out. He could have died. How many of us would have ran? There's a lion over, there's a bear over there, and it's after, it's just one sheep, we'll come back another time, you know? Come on, true love is fearless. It steps out in courage. You know, it may even step through fear. Because you realize that when you're walking in true love, that fear is not yours. Perfect love casts out all fear. So when you're walking in true love, you can actually cast out that fear atmosphere that those beasts are projecting to trying to kill God's sheep, you know? Walk in the love of God and you can take out principalities and powers. That's your true power, is love of God. And it's not, I love you, bro. It's like, it's manifest substance brooding through you, God himself. You can say, I love you, and it won't mean anything. I've seen it thousands of times on Facebook. Love you, bro. And then they go and block you and stuff. And, oh, I guess it was conditional love. Whatever. Fire on my life, fire on their lives. And then, Jesus is the King of Kings, right? What did he do? He got down and he washed his disciples' feet. King of heaven, King of glory. Washing humanity, sinful humanity's feet. Then he goes and dies on a cross for all humanity. He dies, he lays his life down willingly because his Father said so. I'm like, oh, I guess it's not to lord over people. I guess you're sowing into people's lives to build them up higher. That's the kingly anointing. So it's right that for those who are walking in more sauce than you, to build you up, you know? And you can sow money into them, whatever, like, who cares? Get rid of your idolatry. You can sow whatever into them if God leads you to that. But I'm talking about those other ones who just want to build themselves up. And it's like, you don't, it doesn't produce righteousness in you. It's like they attach you to themselves, where they become your Holy Spirit. Well, that's not God. You know, you have one Lord, you have one Master, you have one Shepherd. It's God Himself. You have one Teacher. I may be teaching you right now, but if you cannot hear the Holy Spirit through me, then you're not going to actually get, you know, you're not going to get anything. There's one Teacher. It's the Holy Spirit. You have many teachers, but there's only one Teacher who will lead you into all truth. He'll lead you into the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit Himself. One Teacher. And so it doesn't matter, like, if, like, you can say your pastor or your teacher, like, there's gifts that are called, they're called teachers, right? But you have one teacher. It's, they can speak truths, but there has to be the Holy Spirit making it alive in your heart. And then you've received the truth. You know, you can receive the doctrine and just not really know the truth. And you can wake up in hell with your perfect doctrine because you never knew Him. You need to wake up in heaven knowing Him, and He is the truth. He'll bring this dead letter and give it life. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Look at the Pharisees. Like, a lot of tons of, there's countless Pharisees in hell today who have mastered the Bible, memorized it, who do not know Him, who rejected Him when He stood before them teaching them. It's by the Spirit. You know, discern things by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, man. Yeah, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf comes and catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he doesn't care for the sheep. Doesn't care, but Jesus loves us, so He was fearless to go to the cross. He stepped through fear. Of course, he bled in the garden when His eyes were like bloodshot or whatever, dripping blood. I don't know, sweat drops like blood. I can't remember. But He was like so stressed out in there. But He still obeyed. He went through because He saw His reward ahead. It's not just Him, but bringing many sons to glory. If a seed goes into the ground, or if a seed dies, it abides by itself. But a seed goes into the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. Jesus was the seed that went into the earth, died, and brought forth many sons into glory. Because the trees reproduce after their kind. So when Jesus died and rose again, we arose in Him and many sons into glory. Because He was the Son of God. He's the first fruits. And He's bringing many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the Bible, man. I love God. Shabba. And He doesn't care for the hireling flees because he's in a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. Well, Jesus cares for us because that's why He laid down His life. And He took on all the principalities and powers of the air for your sake and mine. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known by mine. So if you think you have to wait till you die to see Jesus, then you need to die. And Jesus will raise you up. You know, put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Holy Spirit and set your affection on things above where Christ sits, where you're in Him. You know, You don't have to physically die to see Jesus. I've seen Jesus. I have videos about it. I'm not the only one. Tons of us have seen Jesus. Just how wide can your heart go to receive him and to obey him? Let's see. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There's the kingly anointing. I lay down my life for the sheep. King of kings, Lord of lords. So if we're to lay down our lives for the sheep, because he did, he's the way. We follow the way. That's his way. That's God's way. That's Yahweh. We lay down our lives, not just for God, but for God, whatever God's desires are. We lay down our lives for his sheep. When he gives you his heart, it's like he's giving you his desires. He's not willing that anyone would perish. You know, so we can pray for them. We can tell them about Jesus. We can text Revelation. We can send off little nuggets here and there, wherever we go, everywhere. Just sharing in our relationship with God and not being religious about it. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold, one shepherd. Christ. If you're in Christ, you're in the fold. One shepherd. His voice. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach you all these weird heresies that there's like two folds. I guess they don't read the Bible. They just listen to other people talk about the Bible. It's good. I would encourage you all to read the Bible for yourself. But don't just like read it with a natural mind. Read it with the mind of Christ, because the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God, you know, within us. How's that scripture go? Corinthians? Ugh. Man. I think I need a tea. Oh, I wrecked my hat. Oh, there we are. Hallelujah. Oh, man. So distracted. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a break from all this stuff and just practice more of the presence of God. I love the peace right here. I feel a lot of peace, God. I thank you for your peace. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for loving us, God, as your body. Thank you, God, for giving us today our daily bread. God, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and through our earth as it is in heaven, where we fully yield to you. We can hear your voice in heaven. We can move, live, and have our being with you in heaven, in you, and you in us, in Jesus' name. Bring us higher, God, higher, 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 higher. Just like bring us from glory to glory into your presence, glory to glory into the saw, glory, glory into your image, God, so that we can know what life looks like and project it everywhere we go, in Jesus' name. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Yeah, and then they started dividing, and there was a division. They were like, oh, what's going on? What is he talking about here? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's how we should be every day, is the way we are every day. Instead of like when we come to church, we're like, all rise, let us sing holy, holy, holy. No, man. I wouldn't, like, I'll be sitting on my, you know, my couch or something. I'm like, hey, dude, want to worship God or what? Let's sing some songs, man. Let's surrender everything and get in the glory. But that might get thrown out again from churches. That's okay. I got in trouble for laying on the floor with my mouth open, drinking the presence of God. Oh, I don't know. I got rebuked before because the manifest glory was just landed on me, and I'm like tears coming out, stuff coming out of my nose. I'm like, hallelujah. I'm like slurring my words because I was totally plastered in the manifest presence and love of God. And I guess I was the only one who could feel it. That was really odd to me. because I got rebuked for that. They were saying I was faking. Like, how do you fake stuff coming out of your nose and tears? I was just worshiping God. Whatever, I'll be more undignified than this. Fire in your life. Yeah, I hold nothing. I pray God just accelerates their growth so they can surpass me and just teach me. Show me worship in spirit and truth then. Demonstrate it. Whatever, I'm dead in Christ. I want to go deeper and deeper in the glory. That's all that matters. And everyone else needs to go deeper and deeper in the glory so that it can be on earth as it is in heaven. Like Jesus' prayer, you know? Don't you want on earth as it is in heaven? I think we've seen enough of what the enemy can do. We've seen what man can do. Now it's time to see what God can do. What God's going to do through his body that it will hear and obey. Just stepping out in faith and just obeying their master. Watch his kings manifest that kingly glory, that kingly realm of heaven, and just the king just comes stepping through the glory clouds. You know, he's coming in the clouds and just fills the whole world with peace, life, light, and just destroys everything that would destroy. That makes me excited. Let's see what the murmurers were freaking out and stuff, and he kind of fried their circuits. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why do you hear him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around him and said unto him, "How long will you make us to doubt?" They're blaming Jesus. They're blaming Jesus for doubt. That's funny, eh? Because, man, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing him, you know. Who are you hearing? Is it producing doubt or faith? That's a signal of who you're listening to. If it's producing doubt, you know you're listening to the enemy. If it's producing faith, well, you could be listening to Jesus. Is it making you more hungry for God, more hungry for righteousness, more hungry to walk in the Spirit with God? Or is it making you more hungry to debate people and try to figure out your doctrine so you can debate them and prove that you're pridefully right? Well, there's two different trees. Then came the Jews around him, "How long will you make us to doubt? If you'll be the Christ, then tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." So works that you do should bear witness of him too. You're not trying to build your own thing. You're not trying anything. You're just building the kingdom by hearing and obeying. Just stepping out and doing what God told you to do. Hallelujah. "But you believe me not because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Wow, never perish? "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." One hand, one shepherd. Come on. No one can pull us out of the Father's hand. Don't entertain the words of Pharisees. Don't entertain the words of death. He said that they are not of my sheep. Why would you want to entertain words that will try to pull you from your master? And then, because it's the words of the enemy. It's not going to produce righteousness. It's just going to produce death. And that's not good. "Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, 'Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me?'" All right, I'm done there. I'm done reading the Bible. I think I'm at 4 gigs for 54 minutes. I'm recording on my cell phone. It's just an experiment because I didn't even care if this video works or not. press record because God seems to like fill the atmosphere when I talk about him. You can talk about Jesus too. I just happen to push record just in case there's a nugget that someone needs to hear and just wants to accelerate your growth in the spirit. Not growth in the flesh. Put that to death. Grow in the spirit. Have a drink from the river of life. Breathe in the Ruach. Breathe him out. Fill your atmosphere with life more abundantly. Well, I hope you guys enjoy life. You know, keep pursuing Jesus. Don't listen to the voice of death. Don't listen to the voice of strangers. Listen to everyone who has, or just listen to him. Listen for him through everybody's voice. Not just people, but like movies, music, the earth realm around you. You're always looking for his voice in the Bible. You're always looking for his voice. And you'll have your manna, your daily manna, your fresh bread. God bless your face. It's great.